VOE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A former Iraqi general who claims to be part of the insurgency against U.S. troops says the guerrilla war around the city of Samarra is being waged by small groups fighting on their own without direction from Saddam Hussein. He and two other Samarra men insisted in interviews with the Associated Press that their fight isn't aimed at returning Saddam to power. They said it's about ending the occupation and restoring Iraqi rule. All three said their guerrilla groups are fighting without instructions from Saddam or any other contact with Iraq's former leader. Trucks packed with explosives blew up at a London-based bank and the British consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, Thursday, killing at least 25 people and wounding nearly 400. The attacks coincided with George W. Bush's trip to Britain and were blamed on the Al-Qaeda. Security forces were put on the highest alert to deal with some of the worst bloodshed in Turkey since the 1970s. The bombings at the high-rise headquarters of the HSBC Bank and the British consulate occurred 5 minutes apart at about 11 a.m. local time. A bomb apparently hidden in a pickup truck exploded Thursday at the offices of the U.S.-allied Kurdish political party in the northern city of Kirkuk, killing 5 people and wounding 40, including children. It was the second car bombing in as many days targeting Iraqis who cooperate with the U.S.-led occupation. Mayor Abdul Rahman Mastufa said all indications point to a suicide attack because one unidentified body could be the driver. Elsewhere, a pro-U.S. politician was assassinated in the southern city of Basra, and gunmen killed an Iraqi guard at the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad. House Senate bargainers shrugged off a White House veto threat Wednesday and agreed to block a Bush administration plan to let any company-owned television stations watched by nearly half the nation's viewers. Without a specific vote on the subject and virtually no discussion, negotiators included a provision barring the FCC from letting companies-owned stations watched by 45% of viewers. That means the current limit of 35% would remain in effect. Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Ted Stevens, Republican of Alaska, told reporters he expected a verbal spanking from the White House, but not a veto. More news after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
A concessions worker filled used plastic cups with beer and resold them at Sunday's Tampa Bay Buccaneers game and pocketed over $1,000 in unreported sales. The worker was observed picking up used cups from tables and refilling them without rinsing them at a Bud Light booth near the south end zone of the Raymond James Stadium. The food service company alerted police after noticing that more beer was being sold from the worker's booth than was being reported. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when we cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Pundits and other political cynics scoff at citizens' efforts to reform America's money-corrupted political process, saying it's as futile as trying to teach table manners to a hog. The effort wears you out, and it only annoys the hog. That's cute, but if the cynics would only lift their eyes from their myopic focus on Washington, they would see something big taking place in such diverse states as Maine and Arizona. Citizens in both places have already passed grassroots initiatives providing for dramatic reform, public financing of elections. These clean election initiatives give candidates of any party the chance to finance both their primary and general election campaigns with public funds, provided they forego taking special interest money. Not only does this help get corrupt money out of the process, But it also means a regular person can run for office again. Since a school teacher, taxi driver, farmer, shopkeeper, steel worker, or anyone else has access to a pool of money to make them financially competitive with the incumbents. Maine and Arizona have run two election cycles under clean money laws, and the results would warm the cockles of the coldest cynic's heart. There have been more challengers to incumbents than before, with more women, Latinos, and Native Americans running and winning. Half of the challengers using the clean money option say they would not have run without it. Because this system creates more choices, offering fresh faces and new ideas, voter turnout is ratcheting upward. And here's the big one, public financing is working. 59% of Maine's legislators and 36% of those in Arizona have now been elected without taking any tainted money. And publicly funded candidates in Arizona last year won 7 of 9 statewide offices, including the governor and attorney general. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you want clean elections, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. How you doing tonight? Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. If you'd like to call during the program tonight, the number is still 800-TALK-YES. You can email mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. George and Tony held a joint press conference today to show the strength of their alliance. And no, the dim sun did not mention again that they use the same brand of toothpaste. We'll have a bit of sound from that. Kind of scary. Peter sent this in to me. This was something that appeared in the Dallas Morning News, and it has to do with the decision by Episcopalians to elevate a gay man to the position of, Kathy? Bishop? I think Bishop. I don't think that Episcopalians have Archbishop. I don't know. But you know the story we're talking about. So this was a mention, or a little blurb in the Dallas Morning News. The actions taken by the New Hampshire Episcopalians are an affront to Christians everywhere. I am just thankful that the church's founder, Henry VIII, and his wife, Catherine of Aragon, and his wife, Anne Boleyn, and his wife, Jane Seymour, and his wife, Anne of Cleves, and his wife, Catherine Howard, and his wife, Catherine Parr, are no longer here to suffer through this assault on traditional Christian marriage. I like that. Thank you, Peter. That's right. Henry VIII was the founder, as you well know, of the Church of England. Because the damned Pope wouldn't let him get another divorce. Off with her head, then! Great stuff. Thanks, Peter. Bush and Blair. Yeah, there they were. Tony and George's big moment. It's just awful. God, I wish I lived in the UK so that I could do the fun kind of demonstrations that were done there. Here in America this morning, I turn off television. My good friend Peter Werby is in Miami, probably being beaten about his head and shoulders in tear gas. But I turn on the CNN, and there's the demonstrations in Florida. My God, it looks like Miami had been invaded. And I'm not talking about the humans who were there to protest this free trade of the Americas Alliance. I'm talking about the cops. They look like alien stormtroopers. It was just awful. But meanwhile, in London, demonstrators are having a good time. They're having great fun, pulling down a statue of Too Stupid to Be President that was weirdly reminiscent of Saddam Hussein, and so on and so on. But there was a joint press conference today. There stood Tony and George. And I don't know. I wish Oscar Wilde were alive to comment in a way that only Oscar Wilde could about the possible undercurrents in this relationship between Tony and George. And I say Oscar Wilde because of his history in England, what he went through, and the fact that he was very witty and very much the playwright and very much the gay man and very much put upon by the courts and very much sentenced to prison. But it would just be great fun, wouldn't it? Would it not, to hear what Oscar Wilde would say about Tony and George? A reporter asked Too Stupid to Be President at the joint press conference. You have to listen to this. Mr. President and Mr. Prime Minister, do the attacks today — now he's referring to the bombings in Turkey and the bombings in Iraq — do the attacks today, do you view them as a direct attack on the alliance? And does the fact that these attacks are coming sort of with an increasing intensity and randomness, does it make it less likely that you'll be able to turn over sovereignty to an Iraqi council by June?
I don't know the nature of the casualties today, but I do know the nature of the casualties in the recent attack in Istanbul. More Muslims died in that attack. These are Al-Qaeda killers killing Muslims.
Yeah, okay.
And they need to be stopped. And we will stop them.
Yeah, okay. That, of course, that was not the question, stupid boy, but never mind. Reporter then wants to know about the British citizens being held at our gulag in Guantanamo, Cuba. The reporter says, Mr. President, what do you say to the people about the fact that the treatment of the captives in Guantanamo Bay seems to actually belie all of your talk of freedom, justice, and tolerance? And on a specific point, Mr. President, in view of the comments from the Secretary of State and from Charles Kennedy and Michael Howard, those are Brits, on the British nationals being held captive, is there an explicit offer from the United States to repatriate them?
Justice is being done. These are illegal non-combatants picked up off of a battlefield. And they are being treated in humane fashion.
Yeah.
And we're sorting through them on case-by-case basis. There is a court procedure in place.
No, there isn't.
That will allow them to be tried in fair fashion.
No.
As to the issue of the British citizens, we're working with the British government.
It sounds like he has a mouth full of Valium or something. I don't know. This man scares me to death. Reporter then coughs up the temerity to ask Mr. Bush about the weakening U.S. dollar and certain trade issues. The reporter says, Mr. President, how accurate would it be to conclude that the new China trade quotas, along with a weakening dollar and your disagreement with the World Trade Organization on steel altogether, constitute a reelection strategy of boosting U.S. exports at the expense of free trade principles? Now, before you play that, Kathy, you understand that George Bush cannot handle a two-part sentence, much less a five-part sentence question, as this is. But George has been trained like the puppy that he is. Karl Rove and Dick Cheney have trained him to hear certain keywords and phrases, no matter how complex the question. And trust me, once you get past a secondary clause in a question, George Bush is gone. But no matter how complex the question, Bush has been instructed, just listen for keywords and phrases, George. Now, when you hear these keywords and phrases, then here is your stock answer for this keyword, for that keyword, for the and they train him like a dog to respond to certain keywords and phrases because he cannot handle complex sentences. So let me, the question again, Mr. President, how accurate would it be to conclude that the new China trade quotas, that's one, along with the weakening dollar, that's two, and your disagreement with the WTO on steel altogether, that's three, constitute a re-election strategy, that's four, of boosting U.S. exports, that's five, at the expense of free trade principles, that's six.
My administration is committed to free trade.
There you go. Free trade.
First administration in a long time to achieve trade promotion authority from the Congress. And we're using that to promote free trade agreements.
There you go.
On a bilateral basis, on a hemispheric basis.
Hemispheric basis. It happens, though. Well, I guess you are still in the northern hemisphere when you're over there, But that's how it works with Bush. And you'll notice this over and over again. It's not that he's avoiding answering questions. He cannot answer questions. He is incapable of understanding, much less forming a coherent answer. So he has been carefully programmed to listen for these keywords. And Iraq brings a certain response. Terror brings a certain response. Osama brings a certain response. Free trade brings a certain response. Beyond that, there's nothing there. Bush can't handle. And you know this. You know this to be true. I don't care what your politics are. You know this to be true. Now, a cheeky reporter here has a little go back and forth with Bush on the anti-Bush protesters. This is kind of interesting. Mr. President, if I could ask you, with thousands on the street, with thousands marching on the streets today here in London, a free nation, what is your conclusion as to why, apparently, so many free citizens fear you and even hate you?
I'd say freedom is beautiful. It's a fantastic thing to come to a country where people are able to express their views.
Why do they hate you in such numbers?
I don't know that they do. All I know is that it's...
Here we go.
That people in Baghdad, for example, weren't allowed to do this up until recent history.
In North Korea?
They're not spending a lot of time in North Korea protesting the current leadership.
Back to freedom.
There's... Freedom is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And I respect that. I fully understand people don't agree with war.
Uh-huh.
But I hope they agree with peace.
Yeah.
And freedom.
Yeah.
And liberty.
Oh.
Hope they care deeply about the fact that when we find suffering and torture and mass graves...
What do you do?
We weep for the citizens that are being brutalized by tyrants.
Okay. There you go, George. That's good. Click in. Now, it's just astonishing, isn't it? On his faith, nothing would be complete in a little back and forth with Mr. Bush than at least one question about his deeply held religious convictions. On his faith, a reporter asked Mr. Bush, Mr. President, when you talk about peace in the Middle East, you've often said that freedom is granted by the Almighty. Some people who share your beliefs don't believe that Muslims worship the same Almighty. I wonder about your views on that.
I say that freedom is the Almighty's gift to every person. I also condition it by saying freedom is not America's gift to the world. It's much greater than that, of course.
Yeah.
And I believe we worship the same God.
Oh, that's so sweet, George. You are such a disaster. You are such a disaster. Now, the claim Bush makes, the tradition of free speech exercise with enthusiasm is alive and well here in London, he said. We have that at home, too, he says. They now have that right in Baghdad as well, he says. That's what he said yesterday. You want some facts? From the American Prospect, as criticism of his authority appeared in Iraqi media, occupying authority chief Paul Bremer placed controls on Iraqi media network content and clamped down on the independent media in Iraq, closing down some Iraqi-run newspapers and radio and television stations. Oh, well, George, that seems to contradict you. Here's another fact about George Bush and his statements about free speech. Americans, this is from Reuters. American soldiers handcuffed and firmly wrapped masking tape around an Iraqi man's mouth after they arrested him for speaking out against occupation troops. Asked why the man had been arrested and put in the back of a Humvee vehicle, the commanding officer told Reuters at the scene, "This man has been detained for making anti-coalition statements." And the last fact... The British government is spending $9 million to keep Bush away from the protesters.
I'm so carefree with a joyless heart. The
Then sometimes I get it seems all I have is one.
They can say we're only going to have a stimulus package, but let's forget tax relief, misunderestimate.
And in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working in middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. I did watch some cable news today, wading through the booking of Michael Jackson and the awfulness of what continues apparently to occur in Turkey, these terrible bombings. That is the price, though, isn't it? When you invade another country, when you declare yourself to be the government or the country that's going to make decisions on who gets bombed, shock and awe. You know, when Bush and Blair express what in a normal human being would be justifiable shock at these bombings, 27 dead today, 500 wounded at the British consulate and one of the major banks in Turkey based in London. And a few days ago, the bombings of the two synagogues in Turkey, with the attendant number of dead and wounded, the continuation of bombings in Iraq, another one today, with from 4 to 12 dead, depending on which news service you want to believe. This, when Bush and or Blair, in this particular instance, both of them, talk about the horror of those bombings, as I said, for a normal human being, it is horrible. But for Bush and Blair, they are the ones who started this. There were millions upon millions of world citizens who took to the street before shock and awe and said, "Don't you understand what the consequences are going to be?" And of course, Bush and Blair, being the greedy the pigs that they are, and absolutely determined to take over Iraq, which they are not going to be able to do, but at least Iraq's oil fields, proceeded anyway. The anti-war people, who are individually and collectively more attuned, more knowledgeable than Tony Blair and George Bush, where it concerns these sort of things. It's kind of like, we told you this was going to happen. And aside from that, is the slaughter of 27 in Turkey today greater or a lesser crime than the slaughter of 12,000 Iraqi citizens in the past 6 months? Which is the is there a scale upon which these things are weighed? Maybe not. Are the people blown to pieces in these countries now? Is the value or the weight or the morality of these hideous attacks, are they different from 12 years of sanctions that killed only God or Allah knows how many Iraqis? Or are we not to think that way? Is there not a scale of justice, a scale within which the lives of dead civilians are weighed? Is it only when the other side blows up banks and consulates that we're to screech and scream and beat our breasts about the hideousness of it all? Or are we to do that when our government unleashes hell in the cradle of civilization and calls it shock and awe? As much as these deaths grieve me, as much as they terrify me, bombs going off, innocent civilians, people going about the daily intercourse of their lives blown to pieces, as much as that grieves me and pains me and scares me to death, I still can't stand the hypocrisy when I listen to George Bush and Tony Blair talk about how awful it is.
We must not and will not allow the world's worst leaders to hold the United States and our friends and allies blackmail.
Victims and heroes.
The quality of mercy is not
better than martyrs. The quality of mercy is not
surrender. Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Widespread use of antibiotics in agriculture might be creating diseases that are harder to treat. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Many farm animals are on drugs, and that might pose a major health risk to people. Mark Jerome Walters is a veterinarian and the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues. He says big agriculture has gotten hooked on antibiotics.
The vast majority of antibiotics in this country, that is pound for pound, are used not to treat sick people. They aren't used to even treat sick animals. They are put in the feed of animals that are essentially, or at least on the surface, healthy in order to prevent epidemics in these unsanitary large livestock operations. They also help the animals grow a little bit faster.
That makes livestock operations more profitable, but Walter says it makes antibiotics less effective. Disease-causing bacteria develop resistance to the drugs over time. Those tougher bacteria reproduce and contaminate meat sent to market, putting people at risk. Walter says salmonella is an example. He says there's a tough new strain that can resist five major antibiotics, making it very difficult to treat when people become infected.
Every time a new round of human antibiotics are introduced and then subsequently used in animals, that a few months or a couple of years later, you find new types of bacteria, salmonella food poisoning, cropping up.
Walter says we need to rethink this preventative use of antibiotics in livestock operations. He says it raises profits for farmers at the expense of public health, and he urges consumers to shop for meat from farms that don't use these drugs. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Bleh. 27 before the hour. Armand is calling from Bradenton, Florida. Hey, Armand.
Hey, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to his voice, I'm totally convinced that this guy, I think he's drinking again.
Well, I don't think there's any question that Bush is, you know, like Limbaugh. Bush says he was a drunk till he was 40. and then, excuse me, and then stopped cold turkey. I disagree with that, and I think anybody who has studied addiction or alcoholism knows that that is pretty much a fiction. Unless... And again, I'm not an expert on this. Unless they, being his family or his doctor, whoever, has him on a substitute drug to offset the DTs that would normally set in for someone like Bush. So I don't know if what we're hearing, and we hear it frequently when he slurs his words. I don't know if that is just his mind. George Bush does have, it's understood, some learning disabilities that have stayed with him into his adulthood and gotten worse because he made no effort to correct them. Or whether it is some sort of return to his drinking habits, or if it's simply the fact that he is on various and sundry drugs. Now, I opt for the last one, a little bit of the first one and a lot of the last one, because, like you, I'm assuming, I have seen him many times where he is in a sedated state. I've also seen him when he's in a hyper state. More than what I think a broader range than what you would expect just normal people to go through. Hell, I can be in a mellow mood or sedated mood at one moment, and for a given period of time, and then a couple of days later be in a hyper state. Depends on what's going on. But Bush definitely on drugs, yes. But they're really, not, unlike Limbaugh's, you know, Bush doesn't have to meet somebody in Denny's parking lot to get his drugs. They are provided for him legally and perfectly and quietly, sort of like John Kennedy. Let's remember that Kennedy, it turns out now, that Kennedy was taking all those years ago, 40-some years ago, 45 years ago, he was taking a strong daily regimen of drugs, everything from anti-inflammatories to painkillers to you know whatever was in the pharmacopoeia all those years ago. So the fact that Bush is taking drugs, I don't think sets him apart from a lot of presidents. What does set him apart is he's the stupidest man ever to occupy the Oval Office, and that in combination with some of these drugs is a dangerous combination, in my opinion.
I agree with you totally. I also think that there are times where I, you know, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but I can almost sense some real guilt in his voice.
I think that's you. I think guilt is an emotion that Bush is incapable. And I mean this, Armin. I don't think it's in his emotional quiver. I think one of the first things that goes when you are a long-term drug or alcohol addict is, first of all, the ability to really feel compassion. Unless you can feel compassion, I don't think you can feel guilt. Now, I'm not talking about the guilt that, you know, your mom or your auntie or your grandmother ladles on you, especially if you come from an Italian or a Jewish family. Or if you're a Catholic. I'm not talking about that kind of guilt. I'm talking about the guilt that normally springs up inside of us when we commit acts that cause other people grief or pain or suffering. And I honestly do not believe that George Bush is capable of feeling that. You know, he in the famous case of mocking the woman who, I forget her name, who was condemned to die in Texas.
Faye.
Yeah, Carla Faye Tucker. In mocking her, while even the psychopathic Christians like Pat Robertson tried to impress upon Bush that this woman had gone through a real conversion and would be better off alive than dead, helping, you know, locked up for the rest of her life, and helping people in prison, other women, reach some sort of balance, if you want to call it that, and to unzip his pants and urinate all over her, figuratively speaking, and then to mock her, to make it sound as though she were less than human. That tore it for me. I mean, anything beyond that, George Bush to me is devoid of the ability to feel compassion, the ability to understand, and certainly he is lacking the ability to feel guilt. I'm sorry, I disagree with you 100+%, Armand. This guy would never feel guilt about anything that he does. Never, never. It's all justified either by himself or by God, who apparently sits on his shoulder and whispers into his ear as to what to do. When you have God on your side, you don't need to feel guilt.
Well, if that's the case, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, to me that's terribly frightening.
Oh yeah, that's what I say. I'm terrified of George Bush. You know, I sit here and mock him and attack him and denigrate him and run him down and do my best to diminish his pomposity every chance I get. And I realize that other than the listeners of this program, it goes nowhere. And the government agencies that monitor this program, it goes nowhere. And that's fine. the real thing I feel about George Bush is utter and abject terror. Now, not just me. I mean, that George Bush is going to creep into my house and bite me on the ass or break my legs or hurt my wife. But that George Bush, with his policies and his philosophies such as they are, and his ability to be so easily manipulated by neo-Nazis, that George Bush is going to make it impossible for my children or my grandchildren to exist on this planet. I believe what the mayor of London said, Livingstone, that George W. Bush is the single greatest threat to life on this planet. And that's not hyperbole on my part. It's not a melodrama. I honestly believe that. I kind of danced around this with Reagan, but I believed that Reagan, as sick as he was, still had the ability to feel compassion. If not compassion, he had an actor's training where he could come up with a sense memory from some time when he did feel compassion. George W. Bush has none of that. He's a dry drunk. He is a coke user. He's a military deserter, he's an executioner, and he's a mass murderer. And people like that, what, Saddam feels guilt? Adolf Hitler felt guilt? No. Nor does somebody like George W. Bush. And so fear is the main emotion I feel when I watch this man on television or think about him or plan my programs here and have to address his statements. It's easy to mock him because he's such an ass. But he's an ass with tremendous power, more power at his fingertips than any human in the history of the human race, and that's not good.
Mike?
Yes?
Do you think the aristocracy that effectively installed this object in power, do you think that they even fear now what they've done?
No. No, they don't, because they control him. He does not control them. They allow this little banty rooster to stroll around the global stage, the American stage, spouting his nonsense. The reason he fears me, or I fear him, he fears me. The reason I fear him is because those people you are talking about, if they want George Bush to invade another country, then they allow him to. If they want George Bush at some point to drop tactical nukes, they will allow him to. If they want George Bush to utterly destroy this economy so that we have economically poor class of people, they allow him to. So, no, the people who put him there are getting exactly what they wanted and what they paid for. They bought this guy. They paid for him. They own him. George Bush doesn't go to the potty without permission from the people who put him in the White House. So, no, they're not. I honestly don't believe that at all, Armand, that the people who put him there are now going, oh, my God, what did we create? They knew exactly what they created, and they control him every single day. He's under absolute control. Cheney, Rove, Andrew Card, Pearl, Wolfowitz.
I'm not. I don't mean to interrupt you, but no. I'm sorry. But I, they're just front puppets. No. I'm talking.
They're
about
the one. They're the ones that control him. They're the ones
well,
who control him.
Well,
the people who put him in power.
They're his trainers.
Yeah. Well, they work through these people who are around him 24/7. And
yeah, but they're just a very thin veneer.
Well,
the
that could
that
be.
really run the.
That
run the
be.
Little
that
agenda here.
Yeah, Armand, got a boogie. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. The other thing, I kind of touched on this about cruising the cable news channels today. You know, George Bush must just want to worship Michael Jackson. As a matter of fact, I think my good friend Will Pitt has an essay that's out there on Truth Out to this effect. Michael Jackson has blown everything off the front front burners. I don't know what it's like on network news, ABC, CBS, and NBC, because we are not around a television that is capable of tuning in those programs at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night Eastern Time. We have cable here, or satellite here at the office, but no local stations. So the only thing I can see is MSNBC, CNN, and all those five or six cable news channels. Every single thing today has been Michael Jackson. There were protests in Miami and London. There were 150,000. That's a police estimate. So call it 250,000 people on the streets in London protesting the mass murderer who's visiting Tony Blair, both mass murderers, actually. In Miami, there were thousands of people, including 10,000 people organized by the AFL-CIO protesting the so-called Free Trade of the Americas Agreement. which seeks to utterly and absolutely destroy just everything except those things that benefit these transnational corporations. Those demonstrations were going on in Miami. And with the exception of a very few minutes, only when the police riot began and people were clubbed and tear gassed, only then were the cameras and somebody, Frank Zarella on CNN, pulled into duty to explain about the confrontations, to talk about the hippies this and the anarchists that, and over there in the corners, the AFL-CIO, that are fully permitted and allowed to have their demonstration a little bit later. No explanation of what the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement is all about. None. Zero. Zip. Nothing. 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 What? Open your mic. What?
I just wanted to say I was watching, I was flipping around this morning, and I had to flip over to Fox News for a second. And the anchor woman was asking the reporter on the scene in Miami, what's these people's beef?
Yeah, I know. I know. And that reflects the audience of Fox. Remember, 80% of people who got their news primarily from Fox regarding the war in Iraq had it wrong. 80%. When you have a society or a culture or a country or a population or a people who can get it as wrong as we get it, and forget the Fox thing, even people who watch the over-the-air networks had it wrong by margins of 4 and 5 to 1, or 3 and 4 to 1. When a population, a civilization gets it so wrong, when a civilization or a country is so unable to tell the truth any longer, to tell the truth from lies, when you have wall-to-wall, daily, 24/7 right-wing talk radio that blankets this country with lies and distortions, that's the end of it. I mean, there's no coming back from this. Kathy and I were talking about this today. I don't see a way to come back from this. The lies and the misinformation are chin deep in this country, and people react based on what they hear 24/7, and what they've been hearing for the past 10 years is nothing but distortions, half-truths, untruths, and out-and-out lies. Michael Jackson, Scott Peterson, whatever other celebrity of the day, celebrity du jour, celebrity of the week, celebrity of the month, whatever it is, Kobe Bryant. It was appalling to me to watch this hour after hour after hour. Video of Michael Jackson in handcuffs. And I forced myself to come back to television. We were out and about today doing things, but every time we came back to the house or whatever, I would flip on some of these news channels, and same thing, especially at the top of every hour. When if there's going to be an audience for cable news, it's at the top of every hour where people say, hey, it's 4 o'clock, let's see what's going on. And what was going on was Michael Jackson all day, endlessly, yesterday and today. I don't get it. And my question is, the question I have for myself, is this truly the news, so-called, that we Americans want to see? Do we care this much about Michael Jackson or Kobe Bryant or who else? Even the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, Scott Peterson. Do we care this much about... And Phil Spector today was charged with murder or something. I saw that with, the same old cast and crew. Are we that shallow? Are we that blind? I don't know. I don't know. We have a president who admits he doesn't read newspapers. He doesn't watch the news. He gets it from an objective source. That would be his staff. Dear God, I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? So I don't know. What an indictment of us that we have news gathering organizations that have this tremendous opportunity. The cable news networks, that's all they do, 24 hours a day. Yeah, a lot of us repeats. But they have this tremendous opportunity, more so even than the over-the-air networks, to educate us. To tell us the truth and let us make a decision. What is the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement? What does it mean? Where is it in that agreement that says, for example, a country like Venezuela will have its natural resources, i.e. oil, sucked up by transnational corporations? What does this mean? Why do we have troops going to Colombia? Why is it that America is being blown into a million pieces? Our soldiers are being killed in Iraq. What does it all mean? What's going on? You see, If we have five cable networks, news networks, that are that have all this time to tell us this stuff, and what do they give us? Michael Jackson.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two for when you.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My
my fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talks Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
I glance at the headlines just to kind of get a flavor for what's moving. Rarely read the stories. Best way to get the news is from objective sources. Most objective sources I have are people on my staff who tell me what's happening in the world.
Just incredible. Now, very quickly, and we're coming to your phone calls right after the break. If you're on hold, please stick around. I promise. My good friend Will Rivers Pitt wrote this today. A number of explosions tore through the British consulate in Turkey today, killing scores of people. George W. Bush is in England, surrounded on all sides by enraged British citizens whose massive protests have required nearly every police officer in London to be put on the line of defense. This is happening in a nation that has been, both in government and among the populace, one of the strongest allies America's ever known. There are a couple of wars happening in Iraq and Afghanistan, neither of which are going very well. A great many soldiers and civilians have died in the last year. Osama bin Laden is still on the loose after nearly 750 days, and the American people have been given still no explanation for why September 11th happened. It is 3:16 p.m. on Thursday afternoon as I write this. CNN has been covering, with total exclusivity, a parking lot outside a police station for the last hour. They covered an airplane landing. They covered the same airplane sitting still on the tarmac. They covered the airplane slowly moving into a hangar. All the while, talking head after talking head explored every conceivable facet of the parking lot, the plane, the tarmac, and the hangar, as well as a variety of parallel issues. No stone of data was left unturned. Why? Michael Jackson is about to surrender to police. In the last 2 years, CNN has not devoted this much energy and coverage to any story in the manner that is unfolding right now. Enron, stock market, reasons for September 11th, the nomination of Henry Kissinger to chair the investigation into that event, the disinformation that was pushed by the Bush administration before the attack on Iraq, the civilian casualties during the attack on Iraq, the American troop casualties during and after the attack on Iraq, the missing weapons of mass destruction, the missing Osama bin Laden, the war in Afghanistan, the outing of a CIA agent by the Bush administration in an act of political revenge, and about 200 other explosive stories did not get the attention that Michael Jackson is getting now. And that's just the first couple of paragraphs in Will Pitt's latest piece at truthout.org. You can go there now and download it yourself. I will post a copy of this at my website, mikemalloy.com, this evening or tomorrow. Michael Jackson is about to surrender to the police this afternoon. Quick break. We'll be back. And your phone calls. Stay with us.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Trucks packed with explosives blew up at a London-based bank and the British consulate in Istanbul, Turkey Thursday, killing at least 25 people and wounding nearly 400. The attacks coincided with George W. Bush's trip to Britain and were blamed on the Al-Qaeda. Security forces were put on the highest alert to deal with some of the worst bloodshed in Turkey since the 1970s. The bombings at the high-rise headquarters of the HSBC Bank and the British consulate occurred 5 minutes apart at about 11 a.m. local time. A bomb apparently hidden in a pickup truck exploded Thursday at the offices of the U.S.-allied Kurdish political party in the northern city of Kirkuk, killing 5 people and wounding 40, including children. It was the second car bombing in as many days targeting Iraqis who cooperate with the U.S.-led occupation. Mayor Abdul Rahman Mastufa said all indications point to a suicide attack because one unidentified body could be the driver. Elsewhere, a pro-U.S. politician was assassinated in the southern city of Basra, and gunmen killed an Iraqi guard at the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad. A former Iraqi general who claims to be part of the insurgency against U.S. troops says the guerrilla war around the city of Samarra is being waged by small groups fighting on their own without direction from Saddam Hussein. He and two other Samarra men insisted in interviews with the Associated Press that their fight isn't aimed at returning Saddam to power. They said it's about ending the occupation and restoring Iraqi rule. All three said their guerrilla groups are fighting without instructions from Saddam or any other contact with Iraq's former leader. House Senate bargainers shrugged off a White House veto threat Wednesday and agreed to block a Bush administration plan to let any company-owned television stations watched by nearly half the nation's viewers. Without a specific vote on the subject and virtually no discussion, negotiators included a provision barring the FCC from letting companies own stations watched by 45% of viewers. That means the current limit of 35% would remain in effect. Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Ted Stevens, Republican of Alaska, told reporters he expected a verbal spanking from the White House, but not a veto. More news after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
A vodka-drinking competition in a southern Russian town ended in tragedy, with the winner dead and several runners-up in intensive care. The competition lasted 30, perhaps 40 minutes, and the winner downed 3 half-liter bottles. He was taken home by taxi but died within 20 minutes. 5 other contestants ended up in intensive care. The director of the shop organizing the contest has been charged with manslaughter. He had offered 10 liters of vodka to the competitor drinking the most in the shortest time.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Pundits and other political cynics scoff at citizens' efforts to reform America's money-corrupted political process, saying it's as futile as trying to teach table manners to a hog. The effort wears you out, and it only annoys the hog. That's cute, but if the cynics would only lift their eyes from their myopic focus on Washington, they would see something big taking place in such diverse states as Maine and Arizona. Citizens in both places have already passed grassroots initiatives providing for dramatic reform, public financing of elections. These clean election initiatives give candidates of any party the chance to finance both their primary and general election campaigns with public funds, provided they forego taking special interest money. Not only does this help get corrupt money out of the process, but it also means a regular person can run for office again, since a school teacher, taxi driver, farmer, shopkeeper, steelworker, or anyone else has access to a pool of money to make them financially competitive with the incumbents. Maine and Arizona have run two election cycles under clean money laws, and the results would warm the cockles of the coldest cynic's heart. There have been more challengers to incumbents than before, with more women, Latinos, and Native Americans running and winning. Half of the challengers using the clean money option say they would not have run without it. Because this system creates more choices, offering fresh faces and new ideas, voter turnout is ratcheting upward. And here's the big one, public financing is working. 59% of Maine's legislators and 36% of those in Arizona have now been elected without taking any tainted money. And publicly funded candidates in Arizona last year won 7 of 9 statewide offices, including the governor and attorney general. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you want clean elections, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll reach it.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Quick email here and then to your phone calls. This is from John in Cedar Rapids. Mike, I watched the Miami protests on CNN this morning. I saw when the police started to move the protesters back. The protesters had their arms linked, passively resisting being moved. The police pushed against them, then brought out their batons, violently beating the non-resisting protesters like baby seals. Some of the protesters fell. The police brought out the pepper spray and used it. They stepped over and on the fallen protesters, pushing back the ones that hadn't fallen. Then they proceeded to arrest the ones that they had beaten to the ground. Is this America or is it Nazi Germany? I hope Peter Werby is okay. Signed, John of Cedar Rapids. Interesting you should bring that up, John. I was watching the exact same video footage this morning as you were, lying in bed, drinking coffee, trying to figure out if there was a really good reason to get up. And Yeah, I thought about Peter. I kept scanning the crowd. Anytime CNN would come in on the crowd, I'd, is that Peter? Isn't that sick? But he's my friend, and I was concerned about what might happen down there. Peter's not a stupid man, but he's almost as pissed off as I am, and you are. But it occurred to me in watching this video footage, I almost hollered down the steps to Kathy, throw in a tape, and tape this on the television downstairs, because my grandchildren are going to find it hard to believe, and I think this is true. They're going to find it hard to believe someday when I sit them down and say, well, you know, kiddies, there used to be a time in this country where we'd all pick up signs and we would march down the street demanding that our government would respond. Of course, they never did, but we used to do it. And I know my grandkids are going to look at me and then look at each other and kind of shake their heads, and they'll go off in another room and say, is Grandpa off his medication? What is this word protesting? What's he talking about marching down the streets? What is that? Get him some tea and let's go back and see if you can divert his attention. It's that sort of thing. The Bush crime family with their First Amendment zones and the very slow yet inexorable move in this country toward stifling protest, stifling dissent. It's happening. It's happening before your very eyes. And you right-wingers who think it's a good thing to stifle protest, well, first and foremost, damn you. But secondly, the time will come, the time will come when you will realize what's been lost. Mark is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How about you?
Okay, have I told you how much I hate these guys?
No, I think you just did.
Oh, man. I called about something else, but you got me distracted. Let's see. Free Trade of the Americas. There was a report this week that looked back at what happened with NAFTA.
Oh, yeah.
900,000 American jobs were lost due to NAFTA.
Remember, was it Ross Perot talked about the giant sucking sound?
Man was right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the Massachusetts court on the
gay rights.
Gay rights.
Uh-huh.
I think that thing was all set up to provide a campaign issue. I hate to be so cynical, but as I understand it, there's some conservatives on that court that made their ruling.
I wouldn't be surprised. Not at all. I just got an email from somebody that said the Michael Jackson thing, and I heard tonight on MSNBC that this thing has been ready to come down since last March.
Mm-hmm.
That Mark Garagos, the guy who's representing Michael Jackson, has been involved in this thing since late spring. So why did they pick the week that Bush... You understand what I'm saying.
Well, I've got a theory on that as well.
Okay.
You and I are both from the South.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Michael Jackson thing is all a continuing part of divide and conquer. Those up at a you-know-whats, well, this just proves we can't let them get off the farm.
You're right.
Come on now, you live in the South like I have.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I hate to be so cynical, but...
It's not cynicism. You're not being cynical. 10 years ago, maybe, 15 years ago, that might have been a cynical comment, but what we have watched... Since Reagan won, even Nixon wasn't cynical. He was just a flat-out psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
But when you cover or when you combine this behavior with the cynicism and the disrespect for this country, you're not being cynical, Mark, at all.
Oh, I like to think that way sometimes, but I have my taste too, Mike.
I know.
Anyway, that's all I had to say. Have a good one.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in, Mark. Susan is calling from Santa Cruz. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike. This is Susan.
Yes, it is.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm sort of doing okay. Oh, I'm watching Bush topple. Oh, that's wonderful.
Did you see that video?
Yeah, I just saw that.
Doesn't that look like the statue of Saddam coming down?
Yeah. I saw it online, too. And I guess what I wanted to say when I called you a long time ago.
Okay.
It took so long to get in. Is that, you know, there's this great denial going on in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are afraid. If they really looked and really took responsibility, it would be so painful for them. It's painful for me that that isn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was watching Italian television the other day because I prefer to get my news from those guys than here and on the radio. And they stopped the whole everything in Italy a couple of days ago to
for the morning,
our
yeah,
guys, right?
Yeah, for the mourning of those people that were blown up. Yeah.
And so they have a national closure, and this is just one event. And I think if it continues, they'll do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they televise it, and everybody's crying. They call up about it on the radio. And we have a president who's so flat out in denial. He can't even allow the filming of our citizens coming back, dead or alive or whatever.
Well, we were talking about that a few minutes ago. In my opinion, he is devoid of certain emotions that most of us have.
And well, I just think he's in denial, just like the rest of, he's just a reflection of the rest of this country. I don't think he can link the consequences of his actions with his actions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he can do that. And unlike you, I do not hate him. I have compassion for him. I think in his own strange and crazy way, he is playing a role here on the planet, a larger role than we can actually see.
Would you say that Hitler played a role, or Stalin, or Mao?
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah.
Everyone does. We do. That's the way I see it. But I'm not. This is not excusing him.
Right.
But I do really think, like, if Gore had gotten in, and we didn't have Bush, this just would have taken longer. And in a way, I know this will sound weird to you, it may be a blessing that it's all happening quickly because people are waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm asking from you, what I would like to see Mike Malloy do, is put out a call for, and I sent you an email, you know, what can we do about these things? You know, where can we be proactive? What can we do in our communities? You have tremendous power having the venue that you do and reaching the numbers of people, infinite numbers of people, or as many people as there are on Earth through the net. You know, it's really amazing. Cause
well, if I can say something, if I could address that, Susan, I just very deeply do not agree with that last statement. I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
Because I don't put out a certain philosophy.
Uh-huh.
I'm not Rush Limbaugh. I'm not Sean Hannity.
Right.
I'm not Joseph Goebbels, and I'm not George Bush.
Right.
I do not come to this program every night attempting to influence the way people think. To the contrary, and I've stated this over and over again, this program is nothing more or less than a dumping ground. Now, I don't mean that. I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
Uh-huh.
I certainly have self-respect where it concerns my ability to maintain and manage and conduct this program. I'm not saying dumping ground in a derogatory way. What I mean is there are no other outlets in radio, coast to coast, border to border, not one, not Bernie Ward, not any other liberal talk show host, so-called Randy Rhodes, nobody. There is no place else where people can come and say the things that can be said on this program. There is no other radio talk show host, not Tom Hartman, not Peter Werbe when he's on the air on Sunday nights, no one who expresses it with the rage and the anger I do. I'm not here.
Uh-huh.
To influence people, I do not have the power that you think I do.
No,
I listen to people.
Yeah.
People tell me, give me ideas about what to do and what to organize and how to respond and how to react. I have none. I'm lost, Susan.
Well, Mike, I didn't mean it in the sense of ego power.
Or any power.
But you do, just in having the venue.
This is like, in my opinion, and you may, I'm trying to be argumentative here, Susan. You may genuinely see this program the way you see it. I see this program as a chat room.
Well, that has power. That's what I'm saying. As long as you have the ability, or not you, we have the ability to use the airwaves in this way, then we have the ability for people to be in communication and know about what's going on.
I don't disagree with that part.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
But
and
using
that is powerful. That's extremely powerful.
But using radio or this program or any program to find solutions, I think a talk show host or a program host who believes that is deluding himself or herself. that at best, what a talk radio program will do will be to allow people to understand they're not out here on their own, that there are other people who think the same way, which may, a listener I have in Santa Cruz may never connect with a listener I have in Boston, but...
And then again, they might.
Well, but more importantly than that, a listener in Santa Cruz or a listener in Boston who hears similar thoughts from people on both coasts may then feel that it works to go into their local community and try to organize.
And that's powerful.
But that's not because of me. That's because of a listener in Santa Cruz, a caller in Boston, somebody tunes in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, may I suggest that there's an assumption that you're making that may be incorrect.
Okay.
And that there may be that may be your element of denial.
Okay.
In not accepting your personal power and effect.
It may be.
In the world.
It may be.
And that, 'cause you are an incredible human being, Mike Malloy.
Well, no.
You know, I love your show, and I write you about that. And your rants are wonderful.
but no more so than a million other people.
Yes. And there's a next step from rant.
Well,
you know, and I think some of us are ready to take it. I know I'm actively campaigning for Kucinich.
Right.
I do a whole lot on the net.
Hey, hold on a second, Susan. I've got a break here. We'll come back and wrap it up right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lickford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, band leader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer Everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware. John Seip from United Marketing Force. Jay Brentlinger from Orban. And, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show. Take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years. So join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Shame on you, Kathy. Shame on you for playing that. I'm going to have to dock you some of your paycheck. Ha, ha, ha. All right, back to Susan, who's called in from Santa Cruz. Susan, wrap this up for me.
All right, so am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Are we ratcheting up here?
No. I need you, but I do need you to wrap it up.
Okay.
All right.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, we've all got a bit of this denial thing going on. And, you know, I could complain forever, but I'm at a point now where if I don't act, I feel like I'm dying.
Yeah, I know.
It's so important at this time, historically, in every way, it's so important for us to stand up and to be who we are and to find the people who stand for us, which is why I'm supporting Dennis, because
right.
I can't think of anybody else with more integrity who is more honest and more direct and more for us.
I agree with that, yeah.
So I'm doing that, and I'm glad to see that that's, you know, there's a groundswell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I know how hard it is to stay positive because I go through it almost every day.
Right.
And the good thing about watching that thing in Italy was that I cried my eyes out,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's the thing we're not doing. We're not really connecting with the death of our own kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two boys, 22 and 27, and dang, if there's a draft, they may be called. So I'm standing up, and I'm asking that people who listen, you know, start to connect and connect with things they can do and realize that we do have the net. There's no reason to be in denial anymore because everything's out there.
Right.
And this morning, even on CNN and MSNBC or whatever, they did show directly the riots. They did a little less during the day. They'd rather do the kind of BS that attracts Americans, you know.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, the star stuff, which
right.
is crazy and it's so perverted. And it's time to take it all back. It's time to write the letters to, and you know, to the network and say, hey, focus on what's important to us and senators and the, you know, Congress people and the ARP thing. I quit ARP today.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I you know, I did my bit. I did as much as I could do on my own, and I sent emails to everybody. I know.
And I got one. Susan, keep fighting.
Yeah.
I do respect you, and I thank you for calling
and I do love you.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
You take care. I, you know my feelings about this program, so I don't need to reiterate them. I appreciate what Susan said. As far as Al Gore, would things, I think Susan alluded to, you know, things are just playing out, and even with Al Gore in power, they would have played out this way. I disagree with that, of course. I don't disagree with the idea that the idea of imperialist America has to be played out. We have been involved in that since the end of World War II. We had a detour during the 50-year-long Cold War where our imperialist bent was stymied by Soviet Russia or the Soviet Union. And, of course, they're gone now. So there is no check and balance on American imperialism. We've got a window here where we can trample and trounce and defeat and belittle and deny and destroy and commit genocide pretty much wherever we want to, with two exceptions, India and China. Those two countries, of course, are off limits. As far as having compassion for Bush, I admire Susan's ability to have that compassion. I said once before on this program, I am not if one believes in developed or evolved souls, and I don't believe in that, but if one does believe in that, I am not an evolved soul. I'm still pretty primal. If there's any truth to that kind of stuff, I can remember at a time when I did believe and used to have discussions about that sort of thing. We used to sit around and say, well, are you a young soul or an old soul? And we came to the conclusion, I'm a pretty young soul because I do develop rage rather than compassion. I do literally hate George Bush. I hate him more deeply than probably anyone in my history. Had I been alive and been an adult during the Nazi era, I probably would have hated Hitler with the same degree. But I hate Bush because what I see him doing is so destructive. I have children and grandchildren, and to me, George Bush represents evil in its most blatant and dangerous form.
And tell the world that everything's okay, but I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around?
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Widespread use of antibiotics in agriculture might be creating diseases that are harder to treat. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Many farm animals are on drugs, and that might pose a major health risk to people. Mark Jerome Walters is a veterinarian and the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues. He says big agriculture has gotten hooked on antibiotics.
The vast majority of antibiotics in this country, that is pound for pound, are used not to treat sick people. They aren't used to even treat sick animals. They are put in the feed of animals that are essentially, or at least on the surface, healthy in order to prevent epidemics in these unsanitary large livestock operations. They also help the animals grow a little bit faster.
That makes livestock operations more profitable, but Walter says it makes antibiotics less effective. Disease-causing bacteria develop resistance to the drugs over time. Those tougher bacteria reproduce and contaminate meat sent to market, putting people at risk. Walter says Salmonella is an example. He says there's a tough new strain that can resist 5 major antibiotics, making it very difficult to treat when people become infected.
Every time a new round of human antibiotics are introduced and then subsequently used in animals, that a few months or a couple of years later, you find new types of bacteria, Salmonella food poisoning, cropping up.
Walter says we need to rethink this preventative use of antibiotics in livestock operations. He says it raises profits for farmers at the expense of public health, and he urges consumers to shop for meat from farms that don't use these drugs. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Somebody
majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's about 27 before the hour. It's just a reminder, it is Thursday night. This weekend in Columbus, Georgia, outside Fort Benning, is the annual School of the Americas protest, another demonstration. The ones that are handled by School of the Americas Watch are usually very, very religious, or I should say spiritual, very effective in getting the message out, very ineffective, always have been, in closing down the School of the Americas. The School of the Americas will never, ever, ever be closed down. Now, is that cynicism on my part? No, it's reality. I've attended two of these events and will probably at some point in the future attend them again. Are they effective in shutting down the School of the Americas? Not as long as the United States is a capitalist slash imperialist nation. We need to train assassins and killers to go to other countries and soften up the population so that when we do move in with our GATS and our NAFTAs and our FTAAs, the populace has been weakened and softened and is ripe for conquest. Whether it is economic conquest or military conquest is immaterial. So my humble truth, the one I operate on, is that School of the Americas will never be shut down. It is a good thing to protest. It is a good thing to bear witness to the atrocities that are planned and executed from American soil. It is good to bear witness to the fact that American taxpayer dollars goes to support death squads, torture rooms, rape squads, and mass murder. It is good to protest. Now, you can get all the information you want by going to SOAW.org. SOAW.org. I'm not sure how this comes across with a mouthful of stitches, which I still have. But if you're not familiar with School of the Americas Watch, please check them out. If you live anywhere in the area where you can attend this demonstration, it's a good thing to do. I will not be there this week. I think Peter is going there, isn't he, from Miami? Since Peter has gotten out of the daily radio business, he gets around, dude. He really does. Bless his heart. I love Peter to death. But if you if a trip to Columbus, Georgia, Fort Benning, Georgia, is available to you today, this weekend would be a good time to do it. And again, I have been aware of and involved in the closing of the School of the Americas since 1984. So it is not a new issue to me. It's an ongoing issue. It is also an utterly and absolutely hopeless issue. Now, Susan in Santa Cruz would say, no. And I agree. I mean, Susan's right. And I believe just because it's a hopeless issue, you do not stop protesting. There has to be a witness born at these kinds of events, institutions, and atrocities that are committed by Americans. There has to be a bearing of witness. There has to be people who show up and with their bodies and their notepads and their fake coffins and their shrouds, let the power in this country understand that we are aware. We know of the murderous activity. Had there been Germans who had protested the death camps, maybe not as many Jews would have died in the Holocaust. On the other hand, maybe just as many Jews would have died and more Germans. One never knows. So one has to do what conscience dictates. And I fully support Father Bourgeois and all the people in School of the Americas Watch. The nuns, the old nuns who are busted every year and sent off to federal prison because they are pro-life. Because they are pro-life, you see. Because they are truly pro-life. And the government, and I don't care if it's the Clinton government or the Bush government or the Reagan government or the Nixon government, it doesn't matter. The government sends them to prison. So, School of the Americas protest this weekend in Columbus, Georgia. Alan is calling from, you'll have to help me, Skaneateles.
Skaneateles,
New York. Okay, well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm only 13, but I do try and keep informed of what's going on, because obviously the decisions that adults make will directly affect me in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to your program as often as I can, because it's very well written and... for a talk radio show on the internet. But all the anti-Bush, you know, hatred that you show is just alarming to me, because obviously, you know, most of the country wanted him in office, excuse me. And
Wait, let me just correct you on a factual mistake. Most of the country did not want him in office. He lost the popular vote, okay? He came in second to Al Gore.
In one of the recounts that
hold on a second. I appreciate you calling, Alan, whether you're 30 or 103. But there's one thing, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know I don't tolerate, and that is this program being used to put out false information. George W. Bush received less of the popular vote nationwide than Al Gore did. Okay, that is an established fact. But other than that, what you are saying, the last thing there, you were asking me why I hate him so much?
Yes.
I don't know how to begin. If you've been listening to this program on a regular basis, you can form conclusions as to why I do. If you can't, go to my website, mikemalloy.com, click on the resources page, and you will find links to probably 50 websites that, if you have the interest or the time or the inclination, will educate you, will give you the information that you need. Being 13 and being a product of a media-driven society, which is what we live in, Alan, you and I, you have been very carefully programmed and trained to think a certain way. I have not, because I am five times your age. When I was 13, we didn't have television. Well, it existed. We didn't have it in our house. We didn't get it until I was about 14. But you have been programmed to do a couple of things, to obey and to consume. That's it. You have been programmed, Alan, and I don't care where you go to school. I don't care what your test scores are. I don't care what your IQ numbers are. You have been programmed to not think. For yourself, you've been programmed to see. My generation, we were programmed to question authority. Your generation has been programmed to accept authority, to believe what you hear and what you see, and what you read in media, to believe that it's true. In most of American or not American history, but human history, there has been a healthy distrust of power, a healthy distrust of authority. And it's been that distrust of authority and power that has advanced the human race. If we would have, let's just pick any time in history. Let's go back. I know. How's this? Let's go back to the Egyptians. If the ancient Egyptian people would have just rolled over and accepted what the pharaohs were saying, we never would have left the Valley of the Nile. If the ancient Hebrews would have just believed what Moses was saying and not challenged his authority, that wouldn't have had, you know, that culture wouldn't have developed. You can say that if Americans had accepted King George in the run-up to the revolution, there never would have been a revolution. We have... historically, humans have challenged authority, and that's what has advanced the human race. In the Middle Ages, if Galileo or any of these explorers or astronomers would have accepted the authority of the church and the state, we never would have come out of the darkness. So the point I'm trying to make to you, sadly, and this is, I'm not being cute with you, very sadly, your generation, from age about 25 down, and that's your generation, you have been programmed to never question anything where it concerns what the government or media puts out there, and that those in power, those who instilled Bush in the Oval Office, want to keep you that way. The last thing they want is for you to have an open mind or to question anything. So when you hear someone like me on your computer instantly it's, oh, my God, why does this man hate George Bush? Now, you just said, I think you said you support him.
I do.
Why?
Because, I mean, it's just, I hear a lot of stuff. And obviously, because I'm 13, I'm not exposed or have not been exposed to as much as you have. But, you know, it's just a lot of people saying, you know, anti-war, anti-war. And it's just.
Are you pro-war?
Not necessarily pro-war, but not as much anti as many people
okay,
are.
Okay, other than the war issue, what has George Bush done that benefits you, your parents, your relatives, your siblings, your society, your school, your country? What has he done?
Well,
Now, I'm looking for short, precise, concise answers here, Alan.
He has done a lot of stuff with...
No. Specific answers. Don't fall back on right-wing rhetoric. He's done a lot of things. Specifically, and I'm going to be tough with you, Alan, specifically, what has George Bush done in his 3 years of the presidency that has benefited you or this country?
I honestly cannot answer that.
That's right. And the reason you cannot is because he has done nothing. The only things that George Bush has done are things to destroy this country. The economy is in deep, deep trouble. This country is no longer respected around the world. Even after 9/11, when 3,000 people were butchered here and the rest of the world, even in Iran, they turned out in the streets in sympathy for what happened to us. George Bush has turned that totally 180 degrees to the point where people despise us. Look what's going on in London tonight. Do you suppose that 150,000 people demonstrated in London just because they had nothing else to do? They see George Bush as the killer that he is. George Bush has set us back economically, Alan, environmentally. He has ended the global goodwill that was coming our way. He has cut workers' rights and benefits. He's turned his back on the military. He is totally disrespects benefits. If you can tell me, and see, Alan, I ask this almost every night, if there is a single conservative or Republican or right-winger out there who can phone this program and tell me one thing, not three things, not a dozen things, but one thing that George W. Bush has done in 3 years that has advanced this society, that has advanced this country, or has advanced the individual caller, please call and share it. And like you, no one can. So that's your homework. How's that, Alan? When I was 13, the homework was just loaded on me. Your homework assignment, if you want one, go to MikeMalloy.com. And forget all the garbage that's there, because there's a lot of just me. Click on the resource page. I think, is that how it's listed, Kathy? Resources. And you will get a list of 20, 30, 40 websites that are not me, that are sites that will give you information that you're seeking. And by the way, I respect the fact that you seem to be seeking information, or you wouldn't have called this show. You say you're a Bush supporter, you say this, you say that, and yet when challenged, you're kind of at a loss, like you don't know how to respond in specifics. And that's because of the number that they have done on your head, Alan. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I'd like to have you call back sometime, whenever you can, and tell me one thing that Bush has done to benefit anyone in this country or in any other country. And that's a challenge. And when I was 13, I loved challenges. The only kind of challenge I didn't like was when somebody threatened to beat me up. I didn't like that. But when somebody gave me a challenge, like, go find this out, Michael, I would spend a little time on it until I got bored. And if I got bored, I would just, you know, go do something else. But do that. All right, Alan?
Sure.
All right. And thanks for checking in. I appreciate the fact that you've called. I hope you call again.
Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Have a nice evening. Bert is calling from Chicago. Bert, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, Bert. How are you?
Hi. Used to listen to you when you were on WGOP. I mean, sorry, WLS.
Yes, I know you did.
When you were buried, like, at midnight on Sunday nights when you had maybe two people listening.
No, I was on every night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Come on, give me a break
here. Okay.
Right.
About the bombings in Turkey today, I thought that the war in Iraq was supposed to stabilize the region.
Well, that's right. That's what the Bush crime family said, and that's why I made the point earlier tonight that the protesters, the 10 to 15 million people who took to the streets on every continent, including Antarctica, before this war occurred, who said, no, don't do this. The collective wisdom was so far beyond. But you see, George Bush does what Richard Perle and the Project for a New American Century, these killers, these warmongers, he does what they tell him to do. Any fool would have understood, and we are all fools. We understood, you and I, Bert, and the protesters understood, that what Bush had in mind would totally destabilize the area, bring death and destruction in an area of the world that can't tolerate any more of it. And that's what we're seeing.
And this is just what I feel is like a harbinger for things to come, if I use the right pronunciation. I don't know.
Harbinger. Harbinger.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. I've been enlightened. Because, like, Egypt, I think, is ready to explode.
It is
so
indeed.
To speak.
Look at Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
Of course, they should explode. Let me put you on hold a second. I hear the music, Bert, and we'll come back to you in a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
That you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Ah, soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technician is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two for when you.
Show. NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They should not protest because it is in the best interest of freedom and humankind.
Oh, God, I hate him. All right, we're talking to Bert in Chicago. Where were we, Bert? I'm sorry.
We were talking
the
about
bombings.
The Middle East. Yeah, I have one question, though, and I'll finish it up on this note. Do you think that there are still the links between the CIA and these Islamic fundamentalist terrorists that there were in the past as there were in the 80s? Do you think that link still exists enough that perhaps you might be able to kind of smell a rat where these things are concerned?
Yeah, I do. At the risk of reaching for my tinfoil hat, I do think it's very possible. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to someone today. Turkey has refused to send troops to for our adventure in Iraq several times now. So Turkey would be, you would think, the last place that Al-Qaeda or Islamic terrorists would blow up buildings and kill people. On the other hand, the place is being targeted. The two synagogues reflecting the troubles in the Middle East where it concerns the Palestinians and the Israelis. The bank of that was hit today, that is based in London, the British support for this atrocity that's going on in Iraq, and the British consulate. So, what am I trying to say? In the context of terrorist attacks, those targets make sense. I'm not condoning them. I condemn. I hope all terrorists that blow people up go straight to hell, and I hope it's a vicious, vile hell. But those targets make sense. Now, is the CIA involved? Chances are better than 20%, maybe better than 30% that they are.
You can't have a war on terror.
Without terror.
You don't have a solution. Exactly.
Right, exactly. And just when the American public starts to waver in their support for Bush, these events occur. And you can almost chart them. You can watch Bush's poll numbers sink and then brace yourself for a terrorist attack. So, in my opinion, there's a better than 20, 30, maybe 35%, which would be 1 in 3 chance that these attacks are being engineered by someone in the bowels of the U.S. government or on the fringes of the U.S. government. Bert, thanks for checking in, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. More phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. Oh, a bit of a confusing Bush-speak soundbite for you to decipher, and we're going to replay one, plus more of your phone calls. Stay with us.
We never return.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A former Iraqi general who claims to be part of the insurgency against U.S. troops says the guerrilla war around the city of Samarra is being waged by small groups fighting on their own without direction from Saddam Hussein. He and two other Samarra men insisted in interviews with the Associated Press that their fight isn't aimed at returning Saddam to power. They said it's about ending the occupation and restoring Iraqi rule. All three said their guerrilla groups are fighting without instructions from Saddam or any other contact with Iraq's former leader. Trucks packed with explosives blew up at a London-based bank and the British consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, Thursday, killing at least 25 people and wounding nearly 400. The attacks coincided with George W. Bush's trip to Britain and were blamed on the Al-Qaeda. Security forces were put on the highest alert to deal with some of the worst bloodshed in Turkey since the 1970s. The bombings at the high-rise headquarters of the HSBC Bank and the British consulate occurred 5 minutes apart at about 11 a.m. local time. A bomb apparently hidden in a pickup truck exploded Thursday at the offices of the U.S.-allied Kurdish political party in the northern city of Kirkuk, killing 5 people and wounding 40, including children. It was the second car bombing in as many days targeting Iraqis who cooperate with the U.S.-led occupation. Mayor Abdul Rahman Mastufa said all indications point to a suicide attack because one unidentified body could be the driver. Elsewhere, a pro-U.S. politician was assassinated in the southern city of Basra, and gunmen killed an Iraqi guard at the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad. House Senate bargainers shrugged off a White House veto threat Wednesday and agreed to block a Bush administration plan to let any company-owned television stations watched by nearly half the nation's viewers. Without a specific vote on the subject and virtually no discussion, negotiators included a provision barring the FCC from letting companies own stations watched by 45% of viewers. That means the current limit of 35% would remain in effect. Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Ted Stevens, Republican of Alaska, told reporters he expected a verbal spanking from the White House, but not a veto. More news after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
A concessions worker filled used plastic cups with beer and resold them at Sunday's Tampa Bay Buccaneers game and pocketed over $1,000 in unreported sales. The worker was observed picking up used cups from tables and refilling them without rinsing them at a Bud Light booth near the south end zone of the Raymond James Stadium. The food service company alerted police after noticing that more beer was being sold from the worker's booth than was being reported. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Pundits and other political cynics scoff at citizens' efforts to reform America's money-corrupted political process, saying it's as futile as trying to teach table manners to a hog. The effort wears you out, and it only annoys the hog. That's cute, but if the cynics would only lift their eyes from their myopic focus on Washington, they would see something big taking place in such diverse states as Maine and Arizona. Citizens in both places have already passed grassroots initiatives providing for dramatic reform, public financing of elections. These clean election initiatives give candidates of any party the chance to finance both their primary and general election campaigns with public funds, provided they forego taking special interest money. Not only does this help get corrupt money out of the process, but it also means a regular person can run for office again, since a school teacher, taxi driver, farmer, shopkeeper, steelworker, or anyone else has access to a pool of money to make them financially competitive with the incumbents. Maine and Arizona have run two election cycles under clean money laws, and the results would warm the cockles of the coldest cynic's heart. There have been more challengers to incumbents than before, with more women, Latinos, and Native Americans running and winning. Half of the challengers using the clean money option say they would not have run without it. Because this system creates more choices, offering fresh faces and new ideas, voter turnout is ratcheting upward. And here's the big one, public financing is working. 59% of Maine's legislators and 36% of those in Arizona have now been elected without taking any tainted money. And publicly funded candidates in Arizona last year won 7 of 9 statewide offices, including the governor and attorney general. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you want clean elections, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Email from a listener in Florida. I'm going to leave the name off this time. Mike, I don't doubt for a minute that the Bush crime family is behind the attacks today in Turkey on English banks. What better way to terrorize Brits into reaffirming their support for Bush's war on terrorism. I'm sure if they could have pulled off an attack in London, they would have done it. Yeah. Now, we played a soundbite earlier this evening, and it went right past me, but our senior correspondent in Minnesota, Chris, who has been on hiatus here for a couple of months because of death in the family, Chris emailed me. He heard what I did not. It just blew right past me. Chris writes in, could somebody please tell me exactly what an illegal non-combatant is? That's what W said in the clip you played. Funny, but I always thought that the phrase was some sort of animal known as illegal combatant. Are we to believe that Too Stupid to Eat Pretzels and Breathe misspoke, or did he slip, as Mark Crispin Miller says he is wont to do, and actually say what he really meant? That means, then, that the people being held at Guantanamo are innocent, doesn't it? If they're non-combatants, they weren't attempting to harm anyone. So here it is again. This is the reporter asking about the British citizens being held at Guantanamo. The reporter says, what do you say to the people about the fact that the treatment of the captives in Guantanamo Bay seems to actually belie all your talk of freedom, justice, and tolerance? And he goes on, questioning the holding of several hundred. We don't know. You don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows except the Bush crime family. Is it 500, 600, 800 people who are being held there like animals? Unprecedented, unless you want to go back to World War II, to the Japanese and the Germans. But here's his answer, and listen, it's in the second sentence.
Justice is being done. These are illegal non-combatants picked up off of a battlefield.
Okay, stop. That's all we have to hear. These are illegal non-combatants. Cue it up, if you would, Kathy, and play it one more time, because I want people to actually hear what this jackass is saying. Go ahead.
Justice is being done. These are illegal non-combatants picked up off of a battlefield.
Okay, that's enough. Thanks, Chris. Like I said, illegal non-combatants, and I'm sitting here reading the sheet that Kathy types up and listening to it in my headphones, and it still didn't register. That speaks volumes about me, or it shows how far into the Bush dyslexicon I have been sucked. Incredible. Well, I believe that that Chris is right in his reference to what Mark Crispin Miller has written in the Bush Dyslexicon, that the only time this man speaks the truth and without hesitation is when he's talking about death and destruction. Now, that's not precisely what Mark Crispin Miller said, but close enough. And that when he stumbles around, it's when he's attempting to reach inside himself to find those things we were talking about earlier, compassion, understanding, wisdom, experience, curiosity. Those things don't exist inside George Bush. George Bush is really kind of a tin man with nothing inside except viciousness, hatred, murder, and the potential and the ability to be a mass killer and to justify it. Plus, he's a sick, psychopathic, religious freak, too. Did I leave that out? I think I did. Frank is calling. He is our Ontario, Canada Bureau Chief. Frank, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Everything that Bush says just annoys me. Just bugs me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple of quick ones and then an observation from a UK newspaper.
Sure, go ahead.
He's got a couple of quotes. He said, freedom is beautiful today.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I mean, freedom where? In a free speech zone cage a mile or 5 miles away from the action? And then another quote where he says, we all have a duty, and remembering the dead reminds us of our duty. And then he just, and I believe it was back on Tuesday or Wednesday, he was mentioning duty. Duty, duty, duty.
Right.
But, see, the people never gave him that duty. The people said no.
Yeah.
Because we have a duty to go to war. We have a duty, you know, to combat terrorism. And he says the duty came from the people.
Mm.
Well, no, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
But anyways, my main observation, actually it's taken from a couple of newspapers, the UK Guardian and the Houston Chronicle, is mentioning about Bush being a tin man, like a soulless person.
Right.
Like reptilian.
Reptilian.
Mark Twain said that the man who chooses not to read has little advantage over the man who can't read.
Yeah, true.
Bush says that he avoids newspapers because they might contain opinion. A person afraid of critical opinion must be insecure in his own.
Sure.
And then the article says, goes on to say, apparently Bush has never read a profile of a family thrown out of work mm-hmm. or bankrupted by illness mm-hmm. or burnt out of house and home.
Mm-hmm.
It says throughout his presidential campaign and first years in office, he said to combat President Bush's, resident Bush, has had to combat the impression that he's an intellectually lazy, incurious, ill-read, empty vessel.
Yeah, that's
recently
true.
He all but confirmed suspicion when he told a television interviewer that he never reads a newspaper beyond the occasional headline.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he sneers at the filter.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing today, and he was in the Buckingham Palace.
Uh-huh.
You see, look, it says here that UK Guardian says that George Bush looked bored as the Queen showed him around American memorabilia in Buckingham Palace's picture gallery yesterday at the formal start of his visit to Britain. He passed quickly from the Prince of American Wildlife to Queen Victoria's diary of watching Buffalo Bill's cowboy show. He barely glanced at the Rembrandt. And this last picture here says it all. He says, it says, tiring of the exhibits, he looked briefly at the ceiling and headed out.
Yeah.
There's his appreciation of all things, you know.
Yeah.
The lack of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly reptilian qualities. It might sound like a conspiracy theory, but it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's the soul. It's like a total lack of soul, like a semi-empty vessel. Like you look at his eyes and the way, and this is the way he says things. And you just mentioned there the throat type slips. He says what he really means.
Yeah.
You know, where he says, you know, peace and insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a great big library of quotes that I've developed from your show and from many other websites. It's just amazing. 1,703 slip-ups in just 3 years.
Oh, my God. Well, that's more than we have here, Frank, for sure. But no, Bush is touring through an historic building, for example, like Buckingham Palace. And what is on exhibit there? What is offered to this moron in an attempt by the British monarchy in this case, by the Queen of England, to establish some sort of connection to this twerp. Now, I don't hold a lot in favor for the British monarchy either. I mean, let's face it, the Queen's husband is an ex-Nazi. He's just a German thug who, no offense to German people, but Prince Philip was another one that wanted to sign off on Nazism in Europe. So I don't hold a lot of sympathy, nor do I hold support for the British royal family. By the same token, the Queen, this doddering old queen, is trying to establish something with George Bush. But he is no more interested in art than he is in science. He's no more interested in science than he is in curiosity. He's interested in nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And the first thing he does is, one of the first things that happened was in Iraq, was remember they secured the oil fields, and they basically pissed all over Baghdad's culture. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's awful. I know. Frank, thank you for checking in, pal.
I'll talk to you again.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. You know, a lot of our Canadian listeners say they can't make the phone connection. How does Frank do it, Kathy? Next time I'll ask him. That's right. I keep forgetting to ask him. Bush, you know, I'm reminded of a Doonesbury strip that was, I don't know, several months back. I clipped it out. The Rev and, what's his name, are sitting here. Two of the characters are sitting here. And the Rev is talking, and he says, you know, it's hard to believe we have a president who doesn't believe in evolution. It means the leader of the free world has closed his mind to vast areas of human experience and knowledge. Rejecting evolution requires him to repudiate the core tenets of entire fields of study, such as biochemistry, genetics, ecology, paleontology, anatomy, physics, astronomy, geology, cosmology, history, and archaeology. Now, I would be willing to bet something, 50 cents, a dollar, $10, that George W. Bush, in rapid-fire sequence, could not offer up a plausible or fifth, sixth, tenth grade definition of any of those terms I just knocked off. Maybe he could define history. But the rest of them, geology, anatomy, archaeology, physics, paleontology, ecology, biochemistry, genetics, wouldn't it be fun to be sitting across from this moron and say, look, let's play a game, George, real quick, define these terms for me. Couldn't happen. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I found a new one, what we were talking about earlier today about the media.
Yeah.
You know how military intelligence, I can't think of the word, is an anonym or whatever it is, you know, military intelligence, things like that?
Oxymoron. There you go.
I found a new one, National News.
Yeah.
I mean, you were talking about CNN. I knew that they were going to be covering the Jackson thing today, so I stuck a long-term videotape in and just set it to go off this afternoon just to see what it was.
Uh-huh.
And, like, from 3 on, it was like 10 minutes left of Mr. Blitzer's show, like 9:45 before they even mentioned anything other than just the half-hour blurb, you know, the thing at the half hours.
Right.
It's the first time they mentioned the words turkey.
Right.
I mean, this is like 3 hours into it. I mean, it's like, well, gee, no, see, now we can cover a criminal case in Southern California.
Hey, hold on a second. Sure. Will you, Luke, not Frank, Luke, I see the music coming, and we got to take a break, and I want to hear what you got to say. So let me put you on hold to come back to you as soon as we get past this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
More imposts come from overseas, so why can't we make the pie higher? I know humans and fish can coexist peacefully if we don't cave into desire. You can't take the high horse and then claim the low road. The past is over. We all know the importance of bondage between mother and child in the home. But it's hard to put food on your family.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
That one of these days we're going to have brand new types of cars and we'll be more better at cleaning our air.
Unbelievable. Just astonishing. All right, back to Luke, who's called in from Knoxville, Tennessee. Luke, thanks for holding on.
No problem, Mike. Mike, isn't he just the perfect example of reverse evolution?
Yeah, probably so.
No,
yeah.
But when we talk about the media, I mean, you know, I think I've talked to you about this once before. We were talking about the Lacey Peterson case. It's like, you know, if this were something that affected the whole country,
yeah,
I could understand it. But, I mean, this is something that's essentially an area crime. I mean, Southern California, fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they wanted to cover it there, you know, that would make sense. But like, say, last night they were talking about the fact that Nightline had a choice. They were going to cover the Bush in London or cover that. And they chose to go with Jackson. And it's like, you know, you're just sitting there going.
Now, wait a minute. Ted Koppel admitted that at the beginning?
No, they were talking about it. Said that ABC, on one of the sites I was reading, it said that ABC had come down to the point, and those were the two stories they had to cover,
mm-hmm,
had the choices to cover, and they went with Jackson.
I can't understand Ted Koppel knuckling under like that, but I'm not surprised. I may not be able to understand it, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Well, it's like I think you talked about it last night, watching Overman.
Mm-hmm.
Overman's about the only thing I like to watch anymore, national news.
Yeah, me too. He's got an amazing program. For people who haven't tuned in, 8 o'clock Eastern time on MSNBC to watch the Keith Overman program. You are missing a very good show.
But you could tell last night he was bristling.
Yeah, he was so pissed off last night. He had to devote his entire hour to Michael Jackson's upcoming.
Five segments, and they have each one of them be about that. You could,
right.
I remember when he went off the air when the Lewinsky thing was up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said he'd had enough.
That's right. And he went back to sports broadcasting.
Well, like I said, right now, about the only national news I trust is him, maybe in The Daily Show.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
And it's weird about that. But one or two things, real quick, I promise. Letterman tonight has got General Clark on.
Really?
Who's going to be on. And did you see the thing? It's been over at BuzzFlash, and I know some other sites. Did you see the interview General Clark did with this little twerp from Fox? David asked.
I saw. We have broadband internet at home, so
it was fun. He tore him a new one.
The video was there, and I watched it. I thought he got a little flustered, but I thought he gutted the anchor person pretty thoroughly.
Did. Yeah, because the guy kept going back to that same thing.
Well, the way the interview began, who told you to run for president? Is Bill Clinton behind this? You know, at that point, had I been Wesley Clark, because Wesley Clark is not going to get any votes from Fox viewers. But at that point, Wesley Clark should have said, and be careful now because here comes a cuss word, you little son of a bitch, and turn around and walked off.
Well, but don't.
That's what he should have done.
Well,
just walked off. The audacity of that Fox News thug to challenge. I don't care if people vote for Wesley Clark or not, and we can make a case for him against him. But for that overfed, pink-cheeked punk to question Wesley Clark that way, to me, was just, oh, my God.
But at least he showed more class than O'Reilly. He didn't get up and walk out. He stood his ground, and that's one of the things they've got to do. That's one of the things I like about him and Dean. They'll go right at them. And
well,
that's the problem with, like I say, with what Bart calls the pink two-do Democrats.
Yeah.
They've got to turn around and show some backbone and just get right in their faces and say, what do you mean by that?
Well, I can respect that. But for me, just me personally, I'm so sick of these people that I figure when they're controlling the camera, when they're controlling the sound, in this case Fox, when the anchor guy has ultimate control and the producer has ultimate control, somebody like Wesley Clark or Dennis Kucinich or any of these people are ultimately completely at the mercy of how those people want to manipulate the screen. That's why I would say screw you and walk off.
I know. Hey. On the thing,
quick, Luke.
Okay, the thing on Rush, on this thing in New York, is this state or federal that they're after him on the money laundering?
Money laundering is federal.
Okay, I was hoping it was going to be Spitzer in the state. That was going to be.
Well, that's where the crime occurred, and that's where the investigation will begin.
I found.
Luke, I got to go.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call.
The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun. And the TV god watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world every night and day.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Widespread use of antibiotics in agriculture might be creating diseases that are harder to treat. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Many farm animals are on drugs, and that might pose a major health risk to people. Mark Jerome Walters is a veterinarian and the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues. He says big agriculture has gotten hooked on antibiotics.
The vast majority of antibiotics in this country, that is pound for pound, are used not to treat sick people. They aren't used to even treat sick animals. They are put in the feed of animals that are essentially, or at least on the surface, healthy in order to prevent epidemics in these unsanitary large livestock operations. They also help the animals grow a little bit faster.
That makes livestock operations more profitable, but Walter says it makes antibiotics less effective. Disease-causing bacteria develop resistance to the drugs over time. Those tougher bacteria reproduce and contaminate meat sent to market, putting people at risk. Walter says Salmonella is an example. He says there's a tough new strain that can resist 5 major antibiotics, making it very difficult to treat when people become infected.
Every time a new round of human antibiotics are introduced and then subsequently used in animals, that a few months or a couple of years later, you find new types of bacteria, Salmonella food poisoning, cropping up.
Walter says we need to rethink this preventative use of antibiotics in livestock operations. He says it raises profits for farmers at the expense of public health, and he urges consumers to shop for meat from farms that don't use these drugs. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
And the goals for this country are a compassionate American for every single citizen.
A compassionate American for every single... Is that like a chicken in every pot?
I want to get my own American.
Yeah, well,
it's a pet American.
I want one, too. I'm sorry to cut Luke off there so abruptly. I really apologize. You know, folks hold on a long time to get on the program, and then when... The force of the clock makes us do that. I hate to do it, and a couple of people tonight have had to say, "Hey, gotta go." We appreciate everything you have to say. Personally, I would like to talk to each individual caller who calls in here. I'd like to just keep going and going and going. There used to be a thing in talk radio years ago when I first started. They called it the 2-minute rule. And we actually had, in the studio I worked at WSB here in Atlanta, we had a 2-minute egg timer, one of those little hourglass things with the sand. And when the call began, you'd flip that thing over and the sand would start running out. So I do apologize if there is a sense of abruptness sometimes in the way we move on to the next caller. But Luke will forgive me, won't he? I hope everybody does. I'm sorry. I apologize. Billy is calling, our Baltimore, Maryland Bureau Chief. How you doing, Bill?
Very good. How you doing, Mike?
I'm getting...
Listen, I've been listening to you ever since you went to the 9 o'clock slot.
Yes, you have.
And listening through the Internet. So I finally broke down and bought myself a birthday present. Mm. Serious.
Yeah?
So I tuned in last night.
Oh. I know where this is going.
You got it.
Yeah,
basketball.
Sure. Well, it's a Malloy program. It doesn't make any difference. It's more important to play basketball or hockey. I think we're on, what is it, Kathy? In the next couple of months, we're on maybe 6 times. I don't know. It's really bad. They do rebroadcast, Billy. If you want to hang around and listen, they'll carry the program on a delayed basis, I think at midnight, Eastern time or whatever.
Yeah, listen, I guess I'm going to have to join G.I. Jane's Army of Progressives.
You are?
From last night, I mean, that was a great, great job she did singing that song.
Oh!
Happy birthday.
Oh, the happy birthday, yeah.
Yeah, you have some talented people calling in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and she's the Nashville Bureau Chief, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, she has a great singing voice.
Someday, if the heavens are in the proper alignment, someday we ought to try to get all the Bureau Chiefs together, and anybody else who wants to show up. No, never mind. Limbaugh did that one time. Didn't he have a picnic one time? Rush Limbaugh had a picnic. People came from miles around to... Oh, never mind. Forget it. Bad idea.
Be better.
You Bureau Chiefs ought to email each other, though.
And listen, you're right about one thing. I think Karl Rove orchestrated this witch hunt and took Michael Jackson and put him right on the main page.
You know, you have to wonder the serendipity here. Every time Bush wants to get what he's done or not done off the front page, like the Michael Jackson thing has occurred at a time when the House has approved what is essentially the first step in the destruction of Medicare. Michael Jackson shows up essentially at the same time tens of thousands of people in our only ally left on the planet, Great Britain, take to the streets to protest George Bush's appearance in their country. It's astonishing that all this stuff could be just coincidence. You understand what
I'm
saying?
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, I wanted to thank you for the birthday wish, and you're doing a great job.
Thanks Billy. All right, sir.
Okay, take care.
You bet. Appreciate your call. A quick email here from our downtown New York City Bureau Chief, Christine. Hey, Mike, even New York City Hall is denying the 911 panel the documents they need. Karl Rove must be telling Mayor Bloomberg not to release information under the guise of protecting the victims' families. Read what Bloomberg's spokesman, Skyler, says today. What spin? And what she sent me here is a little, it's from the AP. Ed Skyler, press secretary for Mayor Bloomberg, said, quote, Mayor Bloomberg was dismayed to learn that the commission has abruptly decided to issue a subpoena for the tapes of 911 calls made from the World Trade Center on September 11th and transcripts of interviews of firefighters conducted in the aftermath of the tragedy. It will take a court order to make the city violate the privacy of those we lost and those who responded to that horrific event. It also is puzzling why the commission is trying to distract the public by focusing on the city's response as to the question, as opposed to the question we all want answered, how the savage terrorist attack was planned and executed without any warning so that we never again have to endure such a tragedy. Well, that's great sounding rhetoric, but the commission that has been constituted, and time is running out, to investigate the September 11th attacks, voted to subpoena documents that New York City has failed to hand over, which relates to the city's response to the WTC attack. Just another little piece of the puzzle that the commissioners, the investigators, feel they need in order to construct the reality of how we were so vulnerable. If the pieces are ever put together, and they shall not be, no more than the pieces were ever put together properly about the assassination of John Kennedy or the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. Those pieces have never been put together, nor will the pieces be put together. I'm sorry. I know some of you think, well, there he goes being negative again. I'm sorry, but it's not going to happen, and you know it's not going to happen. The official story is the story that is it is imprinted in history. 200 years from now, if this country still exists, they will be talking, and the people will be reading in history books about that awful attack 200 years ago on the United States of America, engineered by 19 terrorists who just somehow were able to totally defeat a 50-year-long security apparatus and intelligence apparatus established in this country. A North American Air Defense Command, the most massive military on the history of the planet, 19 bombers were able to come to this country, commandeer four jet planes, and wreak havoc. And the United States was unable to respond. And the president was unable to respond. And North American Air Defense was unable to respond. And our military was unable to respond. And our intelligence knew nothing about it in advance. So, no, the 911 Commission will not get the documents that it needs. Not from New York, not from the Pentagon, not from Bush, not from the White House, from nowhere. And you know it, and I know it. Damn. Chris is calling from St. Pete, Florida. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Mike. Last time we spoke, I wasn't too much unlike that 13-year-old from the last hour, and you educated me about where I can find out about Bush and his history and so forth.
No, all I did was point you in a direction. You educated yourself.
Well, okay. Well, this time I'm asking for the same thing on a different topic.
Sure.
I see all this protest in Miami and so forth, and it's been a while since I left college, and I don't know anything about
The free trade agreement of the Americas?
Yeah. What is this a statute? Is this a law? I mean, what is
it? It is something that is being debated now. It's not law yet. It's an attempt by the same people who brought us the NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, that has sucked out 900,000 jobs out of this country. Into Mexico. What is it being attempted here by these transnational corporations is to break down all trade barriers among all these different countries in this hemisphere. There are 34 nations participating in the talks here. Now, what does that mean? It means that Mexican sweatshops and peasant farms in the Amazon, indigenous people, small businesses, Venezuela's oil. Everything is going to go into the mix. There'll be the privatization, for example, of water supplies. Once all the barriers come down, once there are no trade barriers, once the sovereignty of a nation is dissolved, you can take a look at what happened in Mexico. A lot of people say, well, what about those, you know, all those businesses went south. It's improved the living standards of the Mexicans. No, it has not improved the living standards of the Mexicans. They live in absolute squalor in these so-called maquiladoras, which exist across the border between the United States and Mexico. But what has happened is nearly a million jobs have been sucked out of the United States and sent to Mexico, and now they're being sucked out of Mexico and sent to China, where the wages are even cheaper. There is nothing wrong with global trade. Global trade has always existed, but it's always existed around a framework of restrictions and tariffs, and then you have trade wars and so on and so forth. If a free trade could, if we could change the name to fair trade, where workers' rights would be respected, where health issues, pollution issues would be respected, where we could agree on health care and how to treat disease. Another part of this free trade of the Americas agreement, excuse me, is to protect, quote, quote, what is called intellectual property, which translates into patents, which translates into this. A company in, say, Bolivia that want to produce a generic drug that is similar to a brand name drug in order to combat, oh, I don't know what, pick a disease, malaria, would not be able to do so. They wouldn't be able to produce a generic equivalent of that brand name drug because it would be infringing on intellectual property, which means that people will die. People will suffer and die. Now, it's much more complicated than that. There are so many issues here that, and there's a website. Let me see here if I can very quickly give you a website to go to. I'll tell you what, if you go to commondreams.org.
Okay, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, go to commondreams.org. There's a story up there today. I think it's a fifth one down. Protesters tell a different tale of free trade. You can start there. There are also some links at commondreams.org that will take you to the free trade resistance website. And another good resource is Dennis Kucinich's website, which I think is Kucinich.us, if I'm not mistaken. Go to go to Kucinich's website and start at Common Dreams, and you'll find a trail. There are breadcrumbs all over the place. Just follow the yellow brick road, pick up the breadcrumbs, and bless your heart for wanting to know what this is all about. Because very few of us Americans do. I can't sit here and give you a coherent definition of free trade of the Americas
agreement. Push me in the right direction, and I can figure it out on my own.
Yeah, you will. You'll get it.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right.
I'll try calling back again when I think of something else I need educating on.
Okay, thanks.
Right, thanks
for checking in, Chris. Appreciate your call. And remember, you educate yourself. You educate yourself. We know what he means. We know what he means. From Santa Fe, taxi driver number 12. What's up? What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing it.
I'm going to make my disclaimer known to everybody here that hasn't heard me before that I'm not a liberal, but I'm in those means of my supporter of Bush. And your previous call, about five or six calls ago, talked about how the George Bush was semi-reptilian or appeared, you know, acted like he was a reptile.
Yeah.
And there's an author named David Icke, I-C-K-E, who was on, I think it was Art Bell a while ago, and he was talking about how his hypothesis is that Lucifer has a lizard minion race that combines their DNA with the leaders of this world. So, indeed, they are semi-reptilian. You know what? That crazy idea sounds like the best thing I've ever heard that would explain the behavior of the leaders of this planet.
Oh, yeah?
Basically, they just basically breed any empathy right out of their DNA.
Yeah.
So they can react like a python or any other lizard without any conscience whatsoever.
You know, I missed this. So this is a guy, the British former anchor that believes alien lizards rule the planet?
Alien lizards run by Lucifer, who basically, the lizards combine their DNA with the leaders of this world and join Masonic lodges to engage in rituals that summon them to be demonically possessed so they can do things like create fear and havoc, and that's why we have an ever-increasing death.
Well, this sounds like somebody who's in definite need of electroconvulsive therapy.
You know, it was the most if you put the fantasy aside, okay, let's say, I don't know if you believe in God or not, or the devil or whatever, it sounded like the most logical reason for the behavior that we are witnessing on this planet.
Okay, well, I'll try to find that story and see.
David Icke, I-C-K-E. And can I tell you, I actually have two things that I agree with the Bush administration on.
Yeah?
And it's tax decreases, not tax increases, because I'm for tax decreases of any stripe, for mega corporations or for poor people or for anybody, because I basically think that tax increases are nothing more than the equivalent of a junkie upping his tolerance and needing more junk to survive on.
Well, if we took that position to its ultimate conclusion, then number 12, you'd have to agree that if few taxes are good, no taxes are better, or no taxes are best, right?
I'd say that basically back in when the income tax was instituted, it was like what?
Okay, but wait. You would agree then, wouldn't you, that no taxes would be the best thing?
No, I would say a fixed minimal amount of your income that does not increase every year would be a good idea. Let's say like 10 or 20%, no more for anybody.
Well, that might be a discussion that needs to be put on the table. It's not going to be with Bush in power. But why should someone who makes $100 a week pay the same as someone who makes $1 million a week? You see, it doesn't. I'm sorry, it makes no logical sense, and I'll tell you why. The person who makes $1 million a week is gaining so much more from this society. This society is providing that person with so much more. Shouldn't that person contribute more back to the society? It's just common sense and decency.
I think things like specifically. In principle, you shouldn't pay more than you should pay a minimum. You should not pay 50% of your wealth or your income or whatever it may
well,
be.
Well, nobody pays 50%. The maximum tax.
There are certain middle class.
No, that's that. No, that's
and
not true.
That thing called the estate tax, where if you.
Now, don't even go there. That affects maybe 300 families every year. Don't even go there. Number 12.
Because if you inherit $1 million.
Number 12, I'm sorry. We got a boogie. See, here, I have to move on. I appreciate you checking in. You got to go.
Got to find a solution. Only the poor might not be. Yeah. The poor might not be.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay. There.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth!
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or t-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Hey, we're almost out of time again. A lot of calls we're not going to get to tonight. I do apologize ahead of time. John is calling from Wausau, Wisconsin. Hey, John.
Hey, I agree with 99% of what you say, but I do have to defend Wolf Blitzer.
All right.
You know, I watch him every day, and I think he did a very... good job covering the Michael Jackson story. Very thorough coverage.
But why bother? That story doesn't affect anybody anywhere except Michael Jackson and the family or families involved in this. You know, why does that story deserve any attention at all, John? And I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm just saying, you know, how many child molestation accusations are made in this country on a weekly basis? That should have been a sidebar story. It should have been something at the end of the newscast. It was like what they call the kicker, where they introduce a story that really has no national or international significance whatsoever. It shouldn't be the main focus of the day, for God's sake.
Right, but... It could be management making some of the decisions. Well,
but that's my point. I mean, you know, most of these anchor people when they get to the point of Wolf Blitzer, they have some say about what they do on the air. Now, not a whole lot, and maybe it's changed since I've worked at CNN. Maybe it's changed radically. But my whole point is the Michael Jackson accusation and arrest story is nothing. It is nothing. We have people being blown to pieces every day. We have a moron for a president. We have the economy tanking. We have a Congress about to pass an energy bill that's going to destroy this country. We have a Congress about to pass a Medicare bill that's going to destroy Medicare. To devote any time to Michael Jackson other than each anchor can come out on each network at the end of the program, say, by the way, former great pop star Michael Jackson was busted today on a charge of child molestation. That's all. That's all it takes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thank you for your observations.
Yeah, okay, John. Thank you. I'm not yelling at you.
Okay.
I'm not, you know. This is what Kathy says to me a lot when we get into arguments. You're yelling at me. I say, I'm not yelling. I'm not. I just, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, John. Oh, God. John hates me now. Oh, I'm sorry. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall is our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out if you haven't yet. Shame, shame, shame. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care.